Let me bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. I know we say that every time, but really it is said sincerely. We just appreciate so very much your desire to be with us. You notice in the bulletin there's an outline of the lesson this morning. It's from the text that was read to us, pretty much giving you my comments or verse by verse commentary of the text, and that gives us the lesson this morning. So if you'd like to kind of follow along, you're very welcome to. So first of all, now that you've heard the text read, and now you can see it again in the outline, you're going to hear it as I make some comments on the lesson. Hopefully it will be pretty well in our mind and hopefully in our hearts, as was said in the prayer. We're going to title this lesson, Add to Your Faith. Even though there's only three verses that give us information to say these are the things I want you to add to your faith, the verses surrounding those additions are important. And he gives us reasons why we should add to our faith these things that are listed, seven things. The author first begins by identifying himself in 2 Peter chapter 1 as Simon Peter. It's interesting that he calls himself Simon Peter. We usually think of him as just Peter, but in Mark 3 verse 16, he's referred to as Simon, surnamed Peter. In John 1 verse 42, Jesus said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah," John. "Thou wilt be called Cephas," or Peter, which is by interpretation a stone. So Peter now goes back to his kind of roots and identifies himself. I'm Simon Peter, not just by the name of Peter. Refers to himself too in the text. I didn't put everything in your notes. But Simon Peter says, I'm an apostle and a servant. You think, hey, I'm an apostle. You might have said, I'm just going to take this thing and run with it. No, I'm a servant too. A servant. No matter what our position or our station in life or whatever status we hold, even Peter said, I'm serving too. Not just an apostle, a servant. He writes to us, not only to the brethren in his generation, but even us 2,000 years later, to them of like precious faith with us. The faith that Peter enjoyed was the faith that he preached, was the faith that his brethren received. And he says, and that's what we enjoy too. The message that Peter presented, that's our faith. And he calls it precious indeed. I would hope you see your faith as precious. A treasure. Valuable. You're priceless. It's something you don't want to give up easily. You don't want to give it up at all. But certainly don't let other things take that faith away. And that's what Peter is writing right here. He says, to the brethren of like precious faith. Oh, my goodness. If you don't see your faith as precious, you'll give it up pretty easily. It's precious. And he says, as grace and peace be multiplied to you in knowledge of God and Jesus. Knowledge. He wants us to know about our faith. He wants you to be informed of your faith that's very precious. So he says, know this thing. Verse 3, he mentions that we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Brethren, spiritually we lack nothing to get us from here to heaven. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, we have access to all spiritual blessings. That key on that word, all. Everything. We lack nothing spiritually. Nothing. It's a precious faith. Precious. In verse 4, he mentions precious again. Very precious and great promises. So you look upon God's word as a treasure. It's worth keeping because of the precious and great promises. So now in verse 5, based upon those first four verses, he says, for this very cause, in other words, because we've been so blessed, because of all that information in verses 1 through 4, that's the foundation, that's on which we stand. Because of that, he says, I want you to give all diligence. Means be persistent and zealous in this. You got to give it some effort. I want you to add. Means supply. Increase, you know, build it up. Add. To your faith, meaning I have an obligation. I want you to be diligent to add to your faith. I need to add to my faith. I need to, I have an obligation, a responsibility. I need to participate in this thing. Oh, that's important. Here's what we need to add. I put these in your notes. There's 7 things. I've given you the definitions. Add to your faith, virtue. Your goodness, your fidelity, your honesty, your integrity. By application, if you're going to add virtue to your life, it means, well, that could be, think about the company you keep. Or the entertainment you seek. Or the pleasure that you pursue. It says, add to your faith, virtue. Virtue. And then on top of that, then we're piling these things up on faith. Knowledge means obviously the definition is right in the word itself, know. In other words, have some discernment that comes from practicing virtue. It means to be reasonable or understand. Have a firm mental grasp of something, of your faith. Know in Him whom you believe. Find out more about God and His giving to us. Increase knowledge. Increase your knowledge. In Hosea 4, verse 6, for me with the scripture, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, the prophet said, God will also reject you. Oh, my knowledge. Ooh. Some people think, God. I've got a pretty good grasp of the Bible. Oh, well, let's add more to it. Let's build on that. That's the admonition that Peter is giving. Because, remember verses 1 through 4, because we've been given some great and precious, treasurable things. So build on that. Knowledge. And temperance, put temperance or self-control on top of that. Means you show some restraint. You live a disciplined life. You're self-governed or self-controlled in a sense. You don't need someone always watching you and to be around you to pull you out or to drag you a certain direction or to keep you away from something wrong. No, I have some temperance or self-control. Because you've added to your faith, virtue, and knowledge. Otherwise, you probably won't exercise self-control. And then you build on that patience. Some things just take time, don't they? Knowledge doesn't come quick. You're not going to learn it all in a weekend seminar. Patience. Oh, yes, over the course of time. Doesn't mean to sit, you know, comfortably and wait. That's not patience. Patience. Means to forbear. You have to put up with some things. Patience. Yeah. And typically the idea is you're going through a struggle. And you have that temptation to bail out. And the admonition, no, be patient. Even in the hardships, that you're going to last or get through it. See? Patience. Yeah. Of course, we always wanted to hurry up. Hurry. Patience. Godliness. Ah, everything toward God. Devotion. Humble reverence. Appreciation. Admiration toward God. 1 Timothy 4 verse 7 says, exercise thyself unto godliness. Me, I just can't say, okay, I want a little godliness. Exercise it. Oh, we don't like exercise. Not everybody does. That takes some effort, doesn't it? Puts some determination, some of that zeal. You have to exercise toward godliness. And all these things would be piled up on top of our faith. And then charity and love, or brotherly kindness is next. We know brotherly kindness. We've been begotten by the same Heavenly Father. So that makes us part of all of us in the family of God. So we look out in the life of one another, in the lives of each other. We're family. And we need to have some brotherly kindness. That family love that we recognize when it's done correctly. So it means to be considerate. If you have brotherly love, you'll be willing to help others. Benevolence. Humane would be a word for definition. Brotherly kindness. Good-hearted. Tender. It's brotherly. We know who are involved. And it's kindness. Kindness. Then charity and love that looks upon others with consideration and regard. Longs for their good. Yeah. And then in verse 8, he changes the admonition a little bit. Now we get the warning or the admonition. So now he says, if these things are yours. Yeah, I want them. That's right, that's the admonition. Add to our faith all these seven things. These things are yours. Now, in other words, and abound. But you see, first of all, it's conditional. If these things are yours, well, they're not mine. Well, then we need to add them. But if we have these things, we need to abound more. And the if is conditional. I put that in your notes. The reward is determined by your participation in these things. And if they abound, in other words, more, I put more than a minimal effort. Quit trying to just get by. All right, that's Peter's admonition. See? Because of those first four verses of what God has given to us. The response is, I want to add to my faith, and I want to do more than what's expected. See? And abound. Verse 9, there's the warning. Uh-oh. If you lack these things. So you're saying, Brian, I hear what you're saying, but I just don't want to do anymore. Well, you've heard the admonitions from family and friends. Saying, oh, yeah, I hear you talking. There you go again. But I just don't feel like I need to add. I'd rather subtract. No, Peter says add. If you lack these things, you're blind. In other words, you lack spiritual perception. I just don't see the need for it. That should be like the warning signs that we see in society. You know, approaching danger. If the train is coming, you see the red lights and the bells and the whistles and the arm comes down. Well, I mean, you get abundant warning. There's a train coming across the road in front of you. Or nowadays with the big trucks and even the small trucks too, if they're going to back up, ding, 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 ding. Oh, wait a minute, I need to be aware of something. There's warning sounds. Well, that's what Peter is doing here. He's sounding the warning of ding, ding, ding. If you lack these things, if you're not interested, if you're saying, oh, there goes Brian again, or there goes the Bible class teacher, saying things, oh, yeah, that's their job, that's all that. They're going to say that anyway. No, if you lack these things, you're blind. You're short-sighted. You don't see that heaven is worth it all. And here I am trying to jump up and down and wave my arms to convince you it's valuable to attend. There's a blessing and a benefit in attending and meeting with those of others of like precious faith. And so I'm going to plead and pray and shout. Encourage and exhort. Because Peter is saying this. And then if you don't believe what I'm saying or what Peter has written, you've forgotten that you were cleansed. You just forgot everything the blessings God has given. You're an ingrate. That's not an attaboy. I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here today. Why? And then he says in verse 10, kind of back to the beginning, wherefore give more diligence. Isn't one diligence enough? No, I want more diligence, Peter says. Now, preach that sermon again. He's saying. In verse 12, and that's what he says, I'm going to put you always in remembrance. Oh. And he says, even though you know them. Oh, my. Peter's saying, you know, I've already told you this. You've heard the voice of the prophets. You've heard the voice of the apostles, the Son of God, John the Baptist. You've heard it from me in my first letter, and now I'm telling you again. You know what I'm saying. Yeah, Peter says. You know that. But I'm going to still put you in remembrance. What I've told you before, he says, I'm going to tell you again. You know, like some of my sermons. And my brothers, they remind me of that. They may say today, Brian, that was a good sermon today. Of course, it was good back in 1995 and 2003 and 2011, too. Because you're thinking, wait a minute, didn't he read 2 Peter chapter 1 before? Oh, yeah, I'm going to tell you again. He said in verse 13, as long as I'm in this tent or this tabernacle, in other words, while I'm alive, he said in verse 14, you know, surely I must put off this tabernacle. That's right. And Jesus foretold of Peter's death back in John chapter 21, verse 18. But the idea of this tabernacle, this tent, that we're going to have to put it off, that's an interesting word because by definition it just means you're going to break camp. It has the idea that you're moving out. We're departing. I just need to put off this tent or this tabernacle. Yeah, sure do. Verse 15, interesting too. That ye may be able after my decease to call these things to remembrance. I wonder after I die, will you remember anything I said? Shake your heads this way. Will you remember anything I said? That's what Peter is saying here. Peter wanted his brethren to remember his words of hope and his words of encouragement. So he's writing this second letter. He's, again, even though you know what he's saying, I want you to hear it again, he says. But it's interesting too, just kind of an aside here. Here Peter's talking about his decease. The end of his life. Now remember, this is the apostle Peter. Simon Peter. But in talking about his decease, he doesn't entertain any idea about a successor. Did you notice that in the text? Now, if a successor to the Apostle Peter is so important in some religions today, why didn't Peter mention it right here when he's talking about his decease in his second letter? If it's so important to have a successor after Peter, I mean, they had one after Judas in Acts chapter 1, Matthias. But no mention at all of Scripture, and even from Peter himself, when he says, I'm going to give up this tabernacle just shortly. But he mentions nothing about someone taking his place. And the Bible mentions nothing anywhere in Scripture about anyone taking the place of any of the apostles, except for in Acts chapter 1, Matthias takes Judas' place. Peter doesn't mention anyone having authority or that's going to have authority over the church. silence. But wouldn't this have been a wonderful occasion for Peter to say, you know, after my demise, after my departure, there will be another to follow me who will be in exalted and in authority, and please listen to him. Nothing. He doesn't mention any person. He doesn't mention any procedure. He doesn't mention any ritual. He doesn't mention any coronation. Nothing. He emphasizes, add to your faith. Add to your faith. And then the verse 16, I didn't have room in your notes. I ran out of paper. Could have used a smaller font. Please don't. This is small enough. But verse 16, we did not follow cunningly devised fables. Ah. What Peter preached, what Peter is writing, was the word of God, and that's what they received. He said, we were eyewitnesses. We were there at the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain when Moses and Elijah appeared, and then Moses and Elijah disappear, and Jesus only remains. And the voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son, whom I well please. Hear ye him. Even Peter recognizes the authority of Jesus over himself. So that's the lesson. Add to your faith, because it's because of the great promises and the treasure house that God has given to us. Don't give up your faith. Add to it. Build on it. Cherish it. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. And this morning, I remember the New Testament church. You're very welcome to become a Christian by obeying some simple ingredients or a plan or a formula, whatever word you'd like to use. But simply, number one, you need to hear the word of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in him whom you've not heard? So you have to hear first so you know what to believe. Then you'll need to believe. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, that is rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Yeah. So you need to hear the good news, then believe it. Then you'll, number three, you'll want to repent of your sins. Jesus said it himself. Luke 13, verse 3, except you repent, you'll perish. Yeah. Then number four, you'll want to confess your faith before witnesses, whether large or small, in number. That's what the Ethiopian did with Philip. He preached to him, Jesus. The Ethiopian said, here's water. Anything hindering me from being baptized? Well, Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he made a statement of belief. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Stop the chariot. Then number five, be baptized. That's what the Ethiopian asked. Can I be baptized? Yeah. Well, let me see. You've heard. You obviously believe. You made that confession. You're willing to turn your life around. Confess. Let's go down into the water. Philip baptized him. Came up out of the water. He goes on his way rejoicing. So that's the invitation. Just those five steps. And from this point on, then we do what our lesson was this morning. Now add to your faith. Build on that. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Add to your faith. Okay? Build it up. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. Let's stand together and sing this song. If you need to respond in a public way, if that's your desire, that's what's on your heart, your resolve, to simply come and let your request be known, and we'll ask it at the close of this song.